Welcome to the Dead Pixel Society podcast, the photo imaging industry's leading news source. Here's your host, Gary Peugeot.
The Dead Pixel Society podcast is brought to you by Photo Finale, Media Clip, Advertech Inc., Got Photo, IQ, Photobook AI, the IPI Member Network, and MailPix. Hello again and welcome to another episode of the Dead Pixel Society podcast. Today we're joined by David Crandall, the Executive Director of the New Industry Association, the School Photographers of America. Hello, David. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Good to be here.
So this is a brand new association. As far as I know, it's officially launched in May or June.
We actually started to form the second week of March when schools started to start closing.
And great timing.
There's no doubt. We truly came together, I think it was March 27th, for our first real phone call. Okay. About what direction and what this could look like in the future. And then by mid-April, we had already started to send bylaws and an operational agreement to everyone and started off as a LLC before transitioning into a 501c6 trade association.
So tell us a little bit about you, where you're coming from. On what basis do you have the background to run a school photographer association?
Sure. So my career started really probably at the age of 7. My mom was a territory manager for LifeTouch in South Carolina. And my Saturdays usually consisted of sitting in front of the TV like many kids watching cartoons, except I would strip envelopes and pull money. And then by the time I was 14, I was really excited. I love photography and went to my first senior training by a gentleman by the name of Les Conrad. Mm-hmm. And proceeded just to be in a studio. And when I wasn't in school, I was taking pictures. And then proceeded to graduate from high school, move on to Clemson University, and during the summers would work in the studio with seniors and photograph candids, and was on yearbook staff. And from there, graduated from Clemson, and LifeTouch hired me directly into a program called Career Track that trained you to be a territory manager, and moved around for a little bit and settled in Greensboro, North Carolina for my second territory. Where we grew from a territory of roughly 5 individuals up to about 75 individuals, so a large volume of sales in schools, before I then transitioned into a national sales role, where I managed the bids and RFPs across the country, and then transitioned into strategic partnerships, which worked with educational associations. Okay. AASA, ESP, NASSP, all the educational associations, and then transitioned from that to a territory in Nashville, Tennessee, before leaving them to come to Strawbridge Studios, where I became the director of marketing and sales, and have that's where I currently reside. I'm currently working to train my two individuals to take on the role that I was doing.
Because it's going to take two people.
No.
Your job is what you're saying.
No, that key. No, not at all. The focus is having one focus on marketing and one focus on sales.
Okay.
And we have grown exponentially here at Strawbridge, and it's the jobs just yield that in general. So
sure.
We've had significant growth the last 7 years. And then I plan to, once we're fully in a capacity from funding and operational, to transition out of Strawbridge in October, November timeframe, allowing me to transition some relationships and other pieces of the business. So
tell us a little bit about the mission of the School of Photographers of America. It does seem to me like it's going to be a very active organization. It's not just a
industry gathering group, and it will actually have a mission to advocate for the industry. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. We, first and foremost, I'm blessed to be surrounded by two incredible boards. The individuals and leaders that make up these boards make it almost impossible to fail. Mm-hmm. We fundamentally believe that over the last 20 years in our industry, that just some really unhealthy business practices have happened and been allowed, and it's pretty much unsustainable. You don't find many other industries that do the quote unquote free services and work for other organizations and still continue to stay relevant. And that has had absolutely devastating impacts on the business as is. In the case of whether you define it as rebating or commissions at the school level, which has absolutely taken some schools, mostly in the Southeast, but it's spread in different parts of the country, where just as the price that has gone up on pictures because the companies are offering larger incentives, unfortunately, what it's done is it's priced them out of the market. You know, moms have just said, "Hey, you know, it's not worth it. I'm not paying that exorbitant fee for pictures." But when you price it right, you know, you still have markets across the country, regardless of the demographic and socioeconomic, and you'll still have 70-80% buy rates. You just have to have the right price value.
That's kind of a dicey area for a trade association to be involved in. Obviously, pricing issues. You might run into collusion type allegations and things like that. And can you talk? It doesn't sound to me like you're really talking about setting prices as much as setting policies.
We 100% has nothing to do with pricing. It's more of the educational side of, from a marketing standpoint, what has happened, which has made parents stop purchasing.
Right.
When it comes to those practices, you have state policies in different states that are personal policies that either prohibit the rebating or commission on images and school pictures, or how that's done. I mean, there are some companies that come into the marketplace that quote unquote say, "Hey, I'm going to give a school a blah, blah, blah percent commission." They turn around and give that school gift cards instead. Now, that not only is in breach of state law, it's probably in breach of certain federal laws too, because it puts that administrator, the person being given that money, undiscretionary funds to be able to spend whenever, whatever, or they could potentially use it for personal. And those business practices, we want to bring a stop to that. It's healthy for everyone. It protects the schools, the educators, that we would not be in business if education was not supportive of us, and also the tradition that's just been created by school pictures.
So one of the things I used to hear back in the day was, you know, the rebate, the commission, was really like it was an industry practice you had to have, because it was something that, you know, the schools expected it. They budgeted for it to some extent. So how are you going to talk to schools about, you know, replacing that revenue, right? If they're expecting X amount of revenue, maybe they were allocating some of that money for books or the prom or something. What is the case for a school to say, "You're right, I don't want to offer a rebate anymore"?
Well, that's it's hard to do a broad stroke across the country because region, every market's so unique and different. But for the most part, nationally, there has been a significant trend, especially the newer, younger generations of administrative leaders in education. They want to give the lowest possible price. They would much rather have more parents be able to participate than any type of funding back. They look at their PTA as an opportunity if they need things for them to be able to raise money. And also just the industry's change. The days of those contracts being so large, You could go back, you know, even 15 years ago, a high school in the Southeast, it was very common that the contract wasn't even a percentage. It was an administrator looking at you going, all right, so if you can pay me $17,000, you can have my contract. But that was back in the day that you were taking proms and they were $10,000, $15,000,
$20,000
sales. Sure. And as anybody that's listening to this podcast that actually deals with school photography knows that you're lucky if you sell 10 packages at a prom today.
Right.
Moms, you know, the creation of the iPhones and digital technology just has eroded many of those special event type opportunities.
Sure.
And, you know, there's just a lot more competition out there. So those sales are not the size that they used to be anymore. So many schools have already looked to different avenues. They're doing everything from marathons to 5Ks to selling cookies and cookie dough and popcorn, and they've replaced the fundraising mechanism. But unfortunately, there's still a group out there that still targets that. And they just, the world around them can change, but they still can't comprehend the concept that maybe I shouldn't mark up my picture so high when only 19% of my families are actually even buying a package anymore.
Right, right. So tell us a little bit about kind of the origins of the organization. You said it started in March or so, right when COVID was starting to hit. Was COVID part of the discussion, or was it sort of the thing that kicked it off into high gear?
I think it's without question kicked it off into high gear for the mere fact that just we're not united as an industry. When you started on March, I can look at my calendar, on about March the 17th is when you started to see industries come together in Washington looking for, whether it be, you define it as bailout or financial assistance and those type of packages being placed into policy and legislation. And you're not going to hear anything in the school of photography industry because we're not united and we don't have a voice. We don't have a voice to sit back and literally go, how can we be safe? Why are we not labeled essential? When you sit back and look, you know, to this day, interview a sheriff, interview any police officer, the first easiest thing to recover a missing child is a recent school picture. When you have states that have ID cards in high schools mandatory, and yet when you talk to most administrators, when you talk to people, they think school pictures is just a minimal part of their day. But you look at a year like this year, and where seniors weren't able to have a graduation, seniors right. played spring sports, were not able to be recognized. And what did every administrator rush to but those pictures to be able to celebrate those kids right. and share their journey? So I think there's definitely an opportunity for us to unite and to make sure that schools alike understand what we stand for, and the services that we provide are insanely valuable to them and to their students, their parents, the community. Mm-hmm. And we just have not done a great job collectively at marketing that. And when you all come together, we can obviously do everything from the standpoint of just telling our story, making mm-hmm. sure that people understand the rich tradition of school photography. One company might not be able to nationally advertise that, but when they all come together, that budget changes a little bit, allows mm-hmm. for that type of opportunity.
So is a industry awareness campaign, is that part of the agenda?
Yes.
And what will be the message on, I mean, I'm sure it's early, but sure. what is the message on something like that?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Photo retailers, energize your sales with ShareMe Chat, the proven texting platform. Using chat to text on your website keeps your customers connected and buying. See us at Pro and IPI to find out why dealers using ShareMe Chat close more sales without adding staff. Find out more at ShareMe.chat.
So it's a multi-prong approach. So right now we're educating at the Senate, House representative level. So just making sure they understand there's a group, what we do and how we interact with schools, whether it be from administrative software to student safety. We're also doing that at the state level, at the departments of education. We're sending those same communications to every state educational association, from the superintendents to the principals to the national level as well, and to PTA. Then once we start to not just educate and get engaged and make sure that we have some task force in place, partnerships and alliances with some of these associations, so that we can educate and make sure that we're giving them the products and services that they need to do their jobs more effectively. Obviously win-win partnerships are what we're striving to achieve. But at the exact same time, then starting to go, how can we collaborate and use our resources together to do a national campaign about school photography? Why to purchase? Why is it so amazing to keep and watch your child's journey from preschool all the way to their senior year and even their collegiate years? When you sit back and you look at most graduates, what are they sending out? You know, some sort of a card of their senior pictures, along sometimes with their kindergarten and those preschool years,
right?
Just to kind of show the growth and the journey that they've had in their educational experience. And there's no better way of doing that than through school photography.
If anything, COVID has kind of woken people up to things they're missing, right? Like, you know, I don't think anyone who had a high school senior in the past school year is very happy with how, you know, the people's school year ended. You know, there was all kinds of events. We've all seen people try to do different things with drive-bys and virtual graduations and things like that, but it's really not the same. And with the upcoming school year, you know, questions there, how active are you going to be in those discussions?
Again, that's one of the beautiful things about coming together when we did. Now, we can't, again, there's not a easy answer to that question because it depends on where you are in the country. But we are seeing outstanding conversations with superintendents, other educational leaders, and state associations, and learning how can school photography still be a part of their school year, whether it's through e-learning or virtual learning. And, you know, some of that is, you know, you have some states that and some districts that they're bringing back K through eight, and their picture days are just going to be normal. And then hopefully we're through this mess, and, you know, late October, early November, the high schools and the secondary will be photographed. In other areas, you're going right back to school. Picture day is going to look different. We're going to be socially distanced. There's going to be hand sanitizer as in masks and all those types of differences.
Contactless is the phrase I've been hearing.
It is. There's no doubt, but, you know, in the industry, you have some that promote, you know, contactless in the sense that no paper, no anything. And I, you know, I sit back and go, we as an organization don't promote that, because you're talking about equity for all. There's so many families in the country that desperately want to, you know, just one small picture of their child.
Maybe, no, I get that.
They don't have a bank account. They don't have an email address. And so they need to be able to pay in cash or pay in a check. So we 100% promote that, you know, as long as a family wants something, your organization needs to be able to, and I am betting those same organizations, you get a school district purchasing manager or superintendent, they would probably say the same thing. You need to be able to accept all payments for these students.
So. Right. Yeah. That was one of my questions about the upcoming school year, was because I've been hearing different things. You know, I'm in Michigan, and they've had various conversations here about, like, some schools opening up 2 days a week,
right,
going virtual the next three and whatever. And it made me really start thinking about what is the place for school photography in those hybrid environments or virtual environments, you know? So what are you hearing?
Sure. I'll answer that one. Actually, the A-day, B-day model could be an amazing thing for our industry. And if you are I saw someone post on LinkedIn the other day, you know, our minds are like parachutes. They only help you if you open your mind.
Right.
So, and you open your chute. The idea that instead of sending hypothetically four cameras to one picture day, and now you're doing two cameras over 2 days, it's not a bad thing. Right. You know, it's interesting to speak to and to have firsthand experience. There was a time in my life where I'd stretched my calendar so far, I had booked a school in the rural area of North Carolina in Greensboro, and I didn't have enough cameras available on that day. And I begged the principal, can I just do it over 2 days? She's like, we've never done it that way. And lo and behold, we made the switch. And I kid you not, she, as long as she was a principal of that school, she was like, David, this is the greatest thing we ever did. It's like a built-in makeup day. It's not as chaotic in the gym. It was just controlled. So, you know, sometimes we have to look at how things are given to us and do the best of what we can. And I look at that as being highly profitable and a fantastic opportunity to still conduct picture days. When it comes to e-learning, as long as in school photography, you're following the CDC in both your state and local legislatures, you can easily partner. There's tons of scheduling programs out there that would love to earn your business and do a phenomenal job at just giving a simple URL that is pushed out by the school that says, hey, we're having picture day today. There's, you know, hypothetically it's, you know, two families or two students every 5 minutes. And when you sit down and you think about that, you run a picture day, say from 8:30 to 3:30 in a gym. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have a line. You're not going to have backup, and it's going to flow really well. And now you start looking at the communication. So many school photographers in our industry, so we can blame this on our own industry. Schools today communicate with families like six different ways. Yet most school photographers pre-COVID still did business the same way it was done 30 years ago. That's with an envelope and an order. Right, an envelope. And you know, what COVID has done is radically progressed everyone to embrace technology differently. Right. And it may be new to you, but it's not new to these schools. You know, your average administrator is communicating to parents via text message, phone message, some sort of a send home on Facebook, and then on Twitter.
Right.
So parents are used to having multiple platforms to find out, what do I need tomorrow? And unfortunately, we as an industry haven't done a great job at that. This has forced our hand. And mm-hmm. the companies that embrace that and give parents that opportunity, if you come to a school with a solution, they're going to open the door. But if you come to a school without a plan and without a program, good luck on learning days. So it really just boils down to, how organized are you, and do you have a very effective plan?
Yeah, that was always one of the things that for school photography companies, I always thought that was sort of a weakness, is that they sort of allowed by contract were restricted from contacting the parents directly, right? They had, the school had to be basically the conduit through which all communication went yep. through. And that's kind of changed over the years as more digital technology has come up and people can now order reprints and tchotchkes and mugs and ornaments and all those things directly from the lab. So that's changing, but you're right. For the most part, the process itself has been very analog.
Very much so. Very much so. And just with these new scheduling platforms, or in some cases, companies have been doing for a long time, it's not rocket science. Right. The link gets sent out and parents go to log in, and guess what they do when they're logging in? They're getting their email, their cell phone number. So right. you can communicate with them, and they're giving it to you by their permission at that point. So
tell us a little bit about the timetable on which you're operating. You said, you know, earlier you started in March, and in June you put out some things, and then obviously in the fall is when the shooting season actually kicks in. But as you know, as an association, you work not necessarily on that schedule.
So from a nutshell, just kind of say how we got started. I probably called and left messages for like 30 companies. If you can imagine, during that first 3 weeks of March, I want anyone to think about a quote unquote, you think salesperson trying to get through when you're trying to figure out the school's closing down and all that type of stuff. And I was simply calling to say, hey, are you interested in having a conversation about creating a trade association? I got many phone calls back. I also mm-hmm. didn't get many phone calls back. Some people asked, like, how did you get the companies that are there? And my answer is the same thing. I called everybody. It's who picked up the phone or right. who responded to the email. I was blessed to have Interstate, Strawbridge, Dorian, HR Imaging, GPI, Wagner, Leonard's, Photo Texas, Katie, and VIP, and myself kind of all stay on the call. We had other peoples on the call at the beginning, and then some people weren't able to stay on or dropped off or whatever the case may be. And then we moved forward. We built bylaws that basically stated we're going to have a governing board that truly manages the association from afar, hire an executive director that is managed by that governing board, and then they're going to approve the policies to make sure we're not doing anything that would be in breach of any type of government or federal laws. And then we'll have an executive board, very common to many, many associations. Sure. We wrote in 4 other seats. Those are at-large seats that will be 2 owner/executive seats, 2 photographer seats. The 2 photographer seats was something I was passionate about. I've worked in now 2 out of, you know, LifeTouch being the largest, Strawbridge being the 3rd largest in the industry. And the greatest salespeople I've ever met in my career, and there's been some great ones on both sides. None came from the outside. All of them started behind a camera. They were passionate about school photography. They knew how hard it is to do, and they never really sold out of bounds because they knew what could and couldn't be photographed. So I was very passionate to tell the group that I think we need 2 people that are active photographers, and I got no buck on it at all. Very excited about that. We already have filled the 2 at-large CEOs. That's Michael Bell from Bell Photographers, and then Mike Harris from Victor O'Neill out of Virginia. Mm-hmm. And then I'm still in the process of interviewing. We had about somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 responses to the photographers. I've narrowed it down to about 30 with resumes, and I'm on about 22 phone calls in interviewing them for those seats. And then we have a number of new companies that have joined our executive board too. So the goal there being, how do you create an organization that represents all in the industry? And when you look at that, some of those companies might have just 200, 150, or in some cases, 90 schools, and then you have some in the thousands, right? So it's a really good representation of the entire industry, mm-hmm. and it's got the market leaders, and it's got the quote unquote mom and pops as well. What I'm super excited was is to be the one that gets to help lead the charge as the executive director. And I had hit a point in my career where after roughly 14 years of living on airplanes and being in national sales, I started to recognize I was doing vacations with friends and customers in other states, not even in my own neighborhood. Right. and I kind of hit my wall of travel. So this is really what excited me, is that I live all of 4.5-5 hours away from Washington, D.C., to be able to do some lobbying myself and partnerships with some of the national associations. And our goal is truly to have myself, one other kind of a communications marketing position, and probably 2 other intern writers, maybe marketing, to be a part of the association full time by December. And then the following year have, obviously, we're going to move forward with everything from different types of training. And man, there's so many things we haven't discussed. I mean, some of the big tickets that we're looking at is creating a vehicle and a platform for school photography companies and photography companies alike to meet the third party requirements given by the Department of Education and the FERPA. Right. And one of the things that is needed is an organization that kind of polices that and watches it, but also supports it and makes sure that the right behaviors are happening. And it's unfortunate we've got some software companies in our industry. I have four children myself. I can go log on to one of their, as at a charter school, I can go log on to their homework screen, and lo and behold, guess what's in the top left corner? Their school picture, and you can right click and download it, because that software company put in a function that you put in the child's portrait, but they never protected it. That's a breach of copyright law, right? But who's going to do anything about it? And right. That's really where our organization is going to find another opportunity to ensure that our photographers and our members are protected. And we're going to police that and go after those companies on their behalf. So there's a lot of different things. This organization has a lot of different legs. And obviously we want to create a meeting place and a platform, whether, you know, that's a conference and whatever that looks like, all companies, not just the small ones, but not just the big ones, but everyone, and to engage and learn and be a part, not just always having quote unquote vendors and other people in our industry to speak, but to bring outside executives. You know, you could think of, you know, whether it's Starbucks or Target and other companies that have executives that have worked in many associations that are great speakers that can provoke thought and mind to all. And then who, if not the most important we should bring to our organization to talk to us, is some of the educational leaders, superintendents, to kind of, you know, people sit back and try to have sales strategy. Why not just listen to your educators and what they want, how to speak to them, how to come to their office, how to gain an appointment, instead of being sold hey, if you listen to my model, you're going to retire in 5 years. Really? So why don't you just engage with some real life educators and sit back and listen to what they have to say, and then build your fundamental business around that.
So. Mm-hmm. So the organization is still evolving, it sounds like, but it also sounds like it has some kind of concrete ideas. One of them is copyright defense and supporting those ideas. So I'm sure there will be a lot of partnerships like-minded conversations you could have with PPA and some of the other organizations that are involved in copyright. So that gives you good crowd to hang with, I think.
Yeah, it's not just, it's also the licensing piece, a part that a lot of organizations have not embraced, but the thought of being able to give kids the opportunity to have their favorite pro sports or their, you know, think of Walt Disney, and the opportunity for an organization to be able to provide a vehicle and a platform for you to be able to use, somehow collaborate in those worlds. And have a legal side that maybe you as a small company couldn't do, but maybe now there's a platform for you, you to be able to license some of those things. So,
okay. So you said, conferences, possibly events. And you've been in conversations, you said earlier before the call with SPAC about possible cooperation there.
Sure. Absolutely. We're all ears to what that could look like.
Yeah. So I guess that's my inference there is you're really open to speaking to all areas of the school photography industry that's out there right now.
Very much. And we're really excited that we've created two new pieces. It's not on our website because our website's being changed as we speak and should be up in the next 2 weeks. But we're adding a preschool segment to the executive board so that there's kind of another segment of our industry out there that doesn't really have a voice either. And that's the preschool side. That seat's going to be held by Keith Tippett of Wonder Year Portraits. And then we're adding what used to be the PSPI or former PSPA digital guidelines. Is now moved into School of Photographers of America, a gentleman by the name of David Lake from Interstate Studios. And we are rebuilding that committee. I have been blessed to receive and take phone calls from almost every major publisher at this point. Over the last couple of years, the publishers had really not all the major ones had a seat or really cared to show up to that table. And Olive Branch really probably was never really put out there. So I've done that. And then we're also going to add a segment that and a subcommittee that I'm going to lead with the publishing industry on how can our two industries coincide and work together better so that we can both keep our traditions alive and growing. Because there's no doubt there's been a massive hit to that industry as well.
Sure. And
sometimes, unfortunately, our two industries haven't played nice, you know, mm-hmm. heaven forbid. So my goal is, you know, there's definitely times that everyone needs to stay in their lane and do what they do. Mm-hmm. But there's also an opportunity that we have that how can we better work with one another to grow both the yearbook segment of the industry and the school photography side of the industry mm-hmm. without hurting each other, if that makes sense. So
sure. What I find interesting about what you've been mentioning is you haven't really been talking a lot about technology, which I find kind of refreshing in today's times.
Yeah.
Because it seems like there's a lot of technological discussions around either delivering school photos or creating yearbooks through, you know, portals and download links and all these things, which I think are part of the future and certainly part of the present, but don't really address some of the core issues that you've been describing.
Absolutely. When I sit back and I think about, you know, there needs to be a group. Do we want to make sure that we listen to mom and whether she's buying a yearbook or pictures? Absolutely we do. But we also want to cherish our tradition, which is a print image. There's no question. The thought that you walk in a person's home and it's just all gray walls, it doesn't give that family feel. And we still want to encourage moms and dads to buy a yearbook and to buy pictures to hang on their walls and create that sense of home. However, with that, we do want to give the technology to mom and dad to be able to order what they want, how they want, when they want it. But I also want to discourage organizations that want to do nothing but, you know, I saw one the other day of someone, you know, bragging about a new product where kids would take their own picture and submit that as, you know, a yearbook image and an ID card and all those other things. And I'm like, why would you ever be in this industry and try to create something that diminishes all that what we stand for?
Mm-hmm. That was a school photography industry company that had done.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just like you scratch your head and go, the only reason we all, that people could disagree with me. I make no bones. I've been in sales and national sales most of my life. I'm very, very open to the fact that everyone has opinions and not all of them are always correct. But I would say we all have jobs because we have a tradition. That's it. If there was no tradition for school pictures in the U.S., we're irrelevant at that point.
Right.
There is a tradition to take school pictures, and the thought of eroding that in any shape, way, shame on you. So that's one of the things that we want to do as an organization is make sure we protect that, protect the schools. And make sure that they don't do anything or a company that does school photography does something that could erode that and take school pictures away. Take, you know, whether it's image transmission to, you know, something none of us are thinking of. You know, there needs to be an organization that anybody should be able to come in and start a business and have at least an outlet, a resource to look at and go, if I'm going to get into school pictures, what do I need to know and what do I need to do and what laws do I need to adhere? And there's not really a good resource for that right now. And
right.
What we want to do is do that. There's always, anybody that's been in this business long enough can attest to this. You'll have a district or let's call it a small district, and you've got a elementary, middle school, and high school. And a mother or father that happened to do weddings and families in town got their kids now a freshman in the high school, and they make a pitch to the school to do pictures for all three schools. Great. I'm not against that, but they didn't do any research. All they saw was a money opportunity, and mm-hmm. they know pictures. they turn around, they realize they can't do the ID cards. They didn't partner with a solid lab to be able to coach them through production software and all the services that they need. They just stayed with who they were doing to do family pictures, and it's a train wreck, right? Now, all of a sudden, that school district calls you back, and I'm so sorry. We should never have left you, and you go back. Do you know what happens to sales that next year? Even though it's your company, the company that no one had a problem with, they drop by like 35% because of the behavior of the company that didn't know what they were doing.
Right.
What we want to do is mitigate that. I don't want to stop that company from doing that. We want to educate that company. So if they're going to get in the business, don't ruin the tradition in a market. Right. Like, know what you're doing before you go in.
And don't poison the well, right?
Yeah. And for some reason, I don't know why. Again, I kind of like the thought that I'm 45 and still have a long life to live, even though I've been in the industry since I was 15. But the sit back and think, why don't we want to share that? I don't understand that concept. Like, if we all get better, competition is a good thing. It makes us stronger. It makes us better. So,
well, you know, that was always one of the things back in the PSBA days was there was a lot of information sharing back then.
Oh, really?
And, good. You know, that is kind of what the industry has kind of been built on. But you're right. I mean, there is sometimes a territorial feel, obviously, with some people have proprietary processes within their organization. Right. And I don't think you're talking about sharing those. I think what you're talking about is basically, you know, if you're going to, like you said, approach a school because you're a weekend shooter and you think you can do the job, you should be aware of what the job actually is. It's more than just making smiley faces with a background.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and again, the goal there being rising tides raise all ships. And that is whether it's training, better competition, better access to resources. One of the things that I'm working on right now, which is amazing, from the fact of the two companies I've worked for before, like there's not really a solid resource guide. If you want to get into this industry, like I don't care if you're looking for, you know, camera cases to composite software to all the different scheduling software to CRMs. There's not really kind of a guide that says, hey, here's all the different companies that really work in this industry. So one of the things we're building within our platform of our website for our members is that once you log in, there's a resource guide and it's going to give you all the different plants and all the different softwares. And then it's going to allow our own members to go on and kind of give feedback on each company and what their experience has been. That way it kind of educates people. At the exact same time, you know, I wouldn't be a good executive director of a school photography company if I didn't print it and put it in some sort of a yearbook form too and send to our members. So, you know, just providing resources for everyone. And, you know, it's very interesting when you dig in and start looking at all the different business partners that people have. You know, those are things that you're like, hey, we never knew that. And if that helps another organization, fantastic. You know, just one more feather in our cap for our purpose, you know, the health and support of the industry.
Well, I think it's an important idea to build that web resource, especially now that, you know, business travel is going to be limited for some time, whether or not, you know, schools are in session, there still won't be a lot of business travel over the next, you know, depends on who you talk to. So at least the next 6 months.
Yep.
So if you're planning to go to a photo show, you know, to see, you know, photographic equipment or whatnot, it's probably not going to happen.
That's correct. So, you know, that's one of the reasons that we're in the, my father, owned a HVAC company. And I happened to go to a trade show for that industry. And it's interesting. You're there and it doesn't even feel like there's competition. You're there with companies that have one truck or two trucks, with companies that are in all 50 states that have, you know, thousands of trucks.
Sure.
And it doesn't matter. They're there to learn, to educate their quote unquote service technicians. And the vendors are there to sell to the one truck and to the national company. Right. And we just, as an industry, we haven't had that type of professional association to bring that to the forefront for everyone. To serve the, you know, you look at a large company like LifeTouch that truly has been the leader in our industry. Have, you know, you have to sit back and go, has an industry association given value for them to bring, whether it's their territory managers or some senior leadership, sales professionals, photographers, are they coming to learn anything or are they setting the bar themselves? You as an organization, you better step your game up if you want to sell to and create a value for the Interstates of the world, the LifeTouch of the world, the Strawbridges of the world, the Dorians of the world,
right.
The Barksdales that have set the standard for this industry. So, you know, that's our ultimate goal is to be able to serve everyone and the betterment of school photography. And, you know, it's great because even if you're not a member, you're going to see benefits. But obviously we would love for everyone to join our group and join the cause and be a part of what we're trying to create. And that is just a healthy industry again.
And if that appeals to you as a listener, where would you go for information?
If you just simply went to our website, and it's www.schoolphotographersofamerica.com, there's ways to join. Individually right now, our governing board is sitting back based on COVID-19. What we've asked is company leaders that go, hey, I definitely want to be a part of this. Just join as a CEO level suite. You're going to get a phone call from me and we're going to sit and talk one-on-one. And then I'm going to start sharing with you some of the resources that we already have for our members. Get you acquainted to whether you want to serve on a committee or be a part of leadership in any way, shape, or form. And sure. We've got Advocacy Day coming up in September that we're asking everybody to do at their own state level. But we're governing board is working on a company membership. The company membership obviously is what floats the entire organization. And then it's going to be the business partnerships, trade show, training, the legal piece that I shared with you, and then some other future pieces that will create revenue streams to help support the organization in the future. So. Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, thank you very much, David, for your time, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Absolutely. Thank you as well. It was great speaking with you.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Pixel Society podcast. Read more great stories and sign up for the newsletter at www.thedeadpixelssociety.com.